if you're not seeking relief on appeal against Y and Z, you don't have to serve them. Now, is my understanding correct, gentlemen? All right, that's true. Now, the bar is, well, on that point, I don't suppose you'd have any quarrel with that, do you?
No quarrel with that at all.
Well, do you have any quarrel with what's in the bill as distinguished from wanting to add more to it?
The only quarrel we have is requiring service as a jurisdictional element.
Yeah. Well, give me an example of...
Yeah, I knew.
It seems to me if you want to file an appeal, you'd want to serve the notice of appeal on the party that you're seeking relief against on appeal. So why wouldn't you have to serve the party?
You would serve the party, but it would not be something that the Court of Appeals would be required to dismiss.
Yeah, but I mean, I can't imagine, well, I guess I can imagine about anything, but it seems to me if a lawyer is going to take an appeal, I can't imagine a lawyer that wouldn't serve the party against whom he wants to get relief in the appellate court. Maybe that happens, but...
I can't imagine it either, but we're looking here at an office-type screw-up. Yep.
Senator Cohen?
Whoops. I know we do a lot of helping the bar with their office-type screw-ups, and we sit here and we make lots of amendments, lots of laws with the justification that we're just helping those poor, forgetful lawyers. And we need to adjust things one way or another because they can't figure out whether the judgments are run out in 5 years or 2 years, and we make... So I guess I'm just afraid to pass the bill out as it is.
Yeah, all right. You want to say anything else?
I'm shot down quite a bit. We're just trying to give the court a little bit more leeway and not being compelled to dismiss.
You'd have to admit that this bill does go a long way toward resolving what has been a pretty bad problem.
That's correct. Okay. We would agree that it does go quite a ways, but okay. It doesn't go far enough.
Sure, thank you. All right, thank you very much. Counsel, you want to comment on the -5 amendments here?
Well, the -5 amendments deal with conflicts with other bills, 22-5. One of the problems is that in a couple of other bills that we've passed, sometimes we're talking about journals for district courts, sometimes we're talking about records, and different bills talk about them different ways. The conflict amendments basically provide that if this bill passes, that we're talking about them the same way throughout, and we haven't messed up that way. So the language is...
Now, Senator Roberts said on the floor the other day, when I raised the question about the necessity of a conflict amendment, that the Oregon Constitution said we didn't have to worry about that in the legislature, the legislative council would take care of all that.
Well, there is an Oregon constitutional provision. I think it's Section 24 of Article 4, Section 21 of Article 4. It's one of the low 20s anyway, that the people passed a couple of years ago to eliminate the proliferation of conflict amendments that was going on a few years ago. That was where you had to conflict a bill with every other bill if they just amended the same section. And what it said is that if the two sections don't conflict, basically you don't have to have a conflict amendment, but there are still some times where there are two bills that amend the same section in a conflicting way, and if they both took effect, nobody'd know what happened. So in those instances, you still have to decide. In this instance, in one group of statutes, you change the language to the journal of the circuit court or the docket of the district court. Well, this bill changes it. There's another bill that changes it, and that's House Bill 2988 that eliminates some of those and calls them a register. So if you left the language in, you wouldn't know what to call it. So it's sort of a substantive conflict, and the constitutional provision eliminated the need for them in most instances and allowed counsel's office to make those decisions, except where there's an obvious situation that you can't make a decision about unless you do a conflict amendment. Is that all clear as mud?
Clear as mud to me.
So what are we naming them? Will this prevail then? We've made the decision to name them.
Yeah.
Something.
Register.
Okay.
Is what they would end up being named.
Register.
In all.
Okay. Anybody got any problems with these amendments? Proposed amendments? Any objection? Any objection to dash five amendments? All right. That's so ordered. And the on the bill as amended, is anybody have any problems?
Move it to the floor.
Senator Brockman, are you all right on this bill?
Sure.
Okay. Senator Brown? Okay. Senator Cohen moves House Bill 2205 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any further discussion? Call the roll, please.
Brockman?
Aye.
Brown?
Aye.
Cohen?
Aye.
Bailey? Hamby? Hendrickson? Simmons?
Aye.
Wires? Fry?
Aye. I carry. We'll go to House Bill 2222.
House Bill 2222 is a bill that was requested by the Corporation Division, and it makes a number of changes that procedurally simplify things for the Corporation Commissioner in some of their notices and some of their record keeping and some in a number of those different kinds of areas. It also switches some of the powers to regulate bingo or lotto from the Corporation Commissioner to the Department of Justice and gives them some additional rulemaking authority to require records and some other minor things in the regulation of bingo and lotto. There are, you will find, behind the fiscal impact, Legislative Council HB 2222A-6611-85 conflict amendments. There are some additional.
I'm actually here for the purpose of releasing another senator, but I'm in a conversation right at this door, and I'll be right in.
Okay. The amendments deal with some conflicts, do some additional cleanup that the Corporation Division wanted. They also amend the title because the title, as it came over from the House, because it dealt with relating clause said relating to filings with the Corporation Division. By doing some other things in the bill on the House side, really they expanded beyond that. We also heard testimony from the Catholic Coalition Conference that they were concerned about one of the record-keeping provisions that would have allowed police to, if churches were carrying on a bingo or a lotto game, would have allowed police to come in during regular business hours. They wanted that clarified that it was the regular business hours of the bingo or lotto and didn't want the police coming in any time the church was open. And the Corporation Commissioner had no objections to that, so she had that folded into this group of amendments.
Well, now, I've got a little question about that. So the church maybe has the bingo game down in some little warehouse downtown, and of course, if they don't have the records there, and they can't be examined there, then I guess with this suggested amendment, they never could be examined. How do you respond to that?
Mr. Chair, Bob Castagna, Oregon Catholic Conference. I guess that would be up to the rulemaking authority of the Department of Justice, which is included in this amendment to the bill, that they would have to require by the rule that the records be at the facility where the bingo or lotto game is being held during those hours, and that would become part of the regulation.
Why is this a problem specific to your organization when it's not to anybody else who runs the games?
This is new regulatory authority that the Department of Justice would be receiving through this amendment.
I understand that, but why would it apply? Why are you here with a concern when all the other Boys and Girls Aid Societies and Girls Clubs and Boys Clubs are not here concerned about their lotto games?
We have particular church-state problems that at any time during the way this bill is worded, during whatever normal business hours might be determined to be, any police officer in the state or a law enforcement agency could walk into a church under the literal reading of this language and demand to see records. We see that as some real church-state problem because of police-state overtones.
Okay, thank you.
You don't think maybe just reasonable hours would be sufficient? What page is that on? I remember.
That's on page 45, line 12. I provided a memo to your staff in addition to the amendment explaining our rationale for it. And Representative Springer had no problems with it. He supported the amendment because he had similar concerns. Corporation Division, as well as the Department of Justice, had no objection to the amendment.
I don't see it on here. Page 45.
It's in the, that amendment is made.
To the A. Gross.
That's the A. Gross. Yes, all right. That's right.
That's Mr. where Chair. The problem is.
Senator Bryan.
It would seem that during the actual operation of the bingo game, that would be the worst possible times to interrupt the administrators of the game with a look-see at their records. I appreciate your other problem, you know, coming during church time on 9 o'clock on Sunday morning.
This was the intent of the Department of Justice. When I spoke to Tim Wood, who's the deputy AG working on this bill, he said that is our intent.
To what?
To come during the bingo or lotto game hours. I said, well, the bill doesn't state it. Do you have any objection to us stating it? And he said no.
Yeah. Normal gaming business hours are normal.
Right. That's what the amendment is, the bingo or lotto game business hours.
Yeah.
Well, of course, that's going to mean that the examination of the records is going to have to generally be conducted at night or on weekends when these games are running. They don't normally run during the standard business hours. Is that going to present any problem?
Well, I'm sure the department by rule could make arrangements with the entity to provide a more suitable time that's convenient to both parties.
If you limit it to those hours in statute, how you couldn't go beyond a more suitable time?
Well,
I think that limits their rulemaking authority to sort of ask and do it at any other time during the gaming hour. If you limit it, we statutorily limit, Mr. Chairman, to the gaming hours, then they can't go beyond that in the rulemaking.
Or a mutually convenient...
Maybe you can get some accommodation in that area that calls for a mutual agreement or some... You know, I don't know how much that tiptoes into the church state.
Our concern was just having somebody show up at a church door demanding to see records.
It's the appearance of it.
Right.
Well, what would the purpose of somebody going to look at the records, find out how much money you're making running a bingo game, or what would they be looking for? A scam in the church basement?
Skim off.
There are bingo operations that have caused problems in the state. And that, I think, is the thrust of why the department wants to regulate bingo, and we have no problems with that.
Only pastors living in my district.
What they do is, in the amendments, it's on page 14 of the amendments.
Okay, let's look at that.
Line 23, they delete. On page 45, line 12, they delete normal and put in bingo or lotto game, so it would read during the organization's bingo or lotto game business hours.
Well, I think that's awfully restrictive.
I do, too.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes?
It's possible that there would be a setup time two, three hours ahead of time, which would be considered to be normal hours, and there's a cleanup time afterwards, and so it wouldn't have to be during the actual gaming time. Many of these people, I'm sure, come for an 8-hour day or a 6-hour day, and early in that business hours would be, I think, a reasonable interpretation of what that means.
You know, maybe additional language is, or at other mutually agreed upon time. Or at another mutually agreed upon time.
Well, of course, I'm not thinking of your operations, but I'm thinking of some of the others, and some of the others might not be too willing to be mutual about this thing.
Or by being mutual, might give them time to doctor the books.
Well, that's true, too. you know, I just don't really see that as a problem. If it turned out to be one, I suppose that the thing could be changed. But do you realistically believe that that's...
With this statute on its face, any law enforcement official could read this and say, I can walk into a church that operates a bingo game at any time and demand to see their books. And that creates for us the potential for a church-state conflict.
Well, of course, I think I can accept the foundation of your concern more than I can accept the theory that this might be a church-state conflict, because if you're, you know, if a church is going to run a bingo game, it's going to have to be subject to the rules of the state. I don't see any...
We have no problems with that.
I would think that you'd rather have somebody come by at 3 o'clock on Tuesday afternoon, whether he was announced or not, rather than right in the middle of your bingo game. Certainly he wouldn't come during Mass.
Our thrust would be something akin to, an audit. If somebody wants to audit the books, you make an appointment, and you come and audit the books. You just don't show up unannounced and expect to have everyone in readiness.
Well, bank examiners tell you when they're coming, by and large, except for that one every couple of years.
That's the thrust of our request.
Well, I wish that...
What page are
we on? Okay, on page 45 of the bill, in lines 11 and 12, and...
Well, I tell you, I'm inclined to leave it alone.
I kind of think you're better off the way it is, personally.
Well,
I've played a lot of bingo games in Catholic church basements. I know that, but
our board members had objection to this language.
Mr. Chairman, a good solution would be to adopt the proposed amendments by the conference, and in our staff measure analysis, indicate that normal business hours would be a reasonable number of hours prior to the actual conducting the game when the setup would be, or the cleanup would be underway.
How about so as not to interfere with the conduct of the game?
Mr. Chair, didn't this arise out of some prosecutions in Portland in the last couple of years out of bingo games?
Mm-hmm. There have been games that have caused problems. I don't know if this was the cause of that.
I think what this is aiming at is the bingo game, which is actually set up by a pseudo church set up only for the purpose, or other charitable organizations set up only for the purpose of running a bingo game. And I don't think any bona fide religious or charitable organization would have anything to lose by this, but it would be certainly a tool for getting at the unlawful competition that you're faced with.
All we're looking for is clarification so that the statute read so that it can't be misinterpreted as to what hours we're referring to.
Organization, normal business hours. Of course, the church said it could be Sunday morning, but I don't think the law enforcement agencies are working then.
Oh, I mean, at 2 o'clock on a Tuesday afternoon, a police officer could come up to the rectory door and say, I understand you run bingo here on Friday nights. I'd like to see your books.
Books pertaining to the bingo.
Right. That, according to the reading of this, would be a legitimate request. This was not the intention of the Department of Justice, according to Tim Wood. When he explained to me what he meant by normal business hours, he meant the business hours as they relate to the operation of the bingo or lotto game. We would have objection to a police officer just showing up at a rectory door and saying, show me your books.
Well, there's nobody there unless it's a normal business hour.
Yeah. Well, is organization defined somewhere in this bill?
Well, it's in subsection 3 on line 7. Each charitable, fraternal, or religious organization maintaining, conducting, or operating any bingo. You know, if the intention is by rule to define what are those business hours, and as Senator Brown has indicated that they would include the setup and cleanup time, we'd have no objection to that.
And we could reflect that in our staff commission analysis.
Sure. But that would seem to be expansive enough that would not interfere. I'm sure there's a couple of hours setup time.
Well, let me ask the commissioner. Commissioner, on this language here that we're puzzling over, wouldn't it be possible by a rule to make some accommodations so the police officers don't intrude during mass?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. We are kind of jumped into this issue because the thrust of our putting bingo on this bill was to get us out of anything to do with bingos and put the Department of Justice in it. But I think it is possible for the Department of Justice to do that. It might also be possible to say something like normal business hours related to bingo operations to get at the issue that you might have, you know, one time where you play, but you have other, you know, activities obviously related in another physical site where those records might be kept. I'm just sitting here listening to the conversation. I thought maybe something like that would help.
Yeah, it also puts the organization on notice as to when those records are to be available.
Well, I'm just frankly, I'm not satisfied to restrict the opportunity to examine records to the hours and the place where the games are being played, because we've got the church on one side of town and we've got the warehouse on the other side of town where they run the bingo. And they might not keep the records there, and they might just play bingo on Friday nights from 7 o'clock to 11. And I'd like to have more flexibility, but I still would not want the police coming in the middle of mass. So there's got to be, I don't think that would happen, but if that's a real concern, then maybe
45.
Maybe that could be addressed by rule.
45.
That's my feeling.
Oh, yeah, even all the related standards.
Sure, I think that should be enough legislative intent on the record to show that we're not subjecting them to any
arbitrary.
Reasonable and arbitrary.
If that happens, and I believe it would not, but if it does, why, that's a problem, a real problem then that we could take a look at and address. Right now, it's pretty hypothetical, and maybe there's an answer out there, some middle ground answer, but it doesn't come to me right now, and I'd like to get on with the bill. That's the way I look at it. Unless the committee is really uncomfortable, it would be my recommendation to omit that from the page 14 on the -6 amendments, lines 23 and 24, and move the remaining amendments.
I thought, Chairman, that Justice Department had some very, very simple language that would expand the current statute. It sounded very good, much better than anything I or
I don't have anybody from the Justice Department here, though.
That's the Corporation Committee.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
She's a higher ranking official by far than
our Justice Department. I apologize. Every time I look out here, it's usually a lady lawyer. And I'm sure she is also.
She was substantial.
What was the language?
Senator Brown, I had suggested something like during normal business hours related to bingo or lotto activities. I don't know if...
No, I mean, that's in essence what we
yes.
attempted to do as a result of our conversation with the representative from the Department of Justice, who confirmed that was the bill's intent. What I was seeking to clarify here was what normal business hours are being referred to in this section. This just says normal business hours. For a church, that could be any hour during the workday, from Monday to the following Sunday. We were just trying to find out what hours were being referred to, and the Department of Justice representative meant those gaming hours.
That's the word I used.
Well, Mr. Chair, I think that the purpose of the audit, though, is not to confine it to those hours. And again, I'm going back to the ones in the Portland area that were found to be really charities in name only, or churches in name only, where maybe the if they had books, which I doubt that they had any that were at least available, that they would not be available at the location of the bingo game, but were in somebody's trunk of his car, in one case with several thousands of dollars. And I think that it should be broad enough to cover that. I don't think the Justice Department is going to be interested in going down to a legitimate church parish hall and being very concerned about a bingo game, but I think they are going to be interested in somebody that rents a bowling alley and hires people to call the bingo and skims off a lot of the money that's supposed to be going back to the person who's gambling. And I think that's what this is aimed at, and I don't think we want to tie the hands of the Department of Justice or the Commerce Department, whichever, by putting in restrictions that may solve some ethical problem for a certain legitimate church, but would work to the advantage of the fly-by-nighter that's a RICO subject. And I think that's what we're trying to do, is to get after that gambler, that person who is operating outside the law, rather than the legitimate people. And it's just like an income tax law. If your return is legitimate and honest, you don't worry about all the regulations.
Well, I could make this suggestion. Run this by you now. Subsection B would read essentially like this: make available for inspection by any police officer or law enforcement agency during the make available for inspection by any police officer or law enforcement agency all records required by the department rule to be maintained. All records required by department rule to be maintained. What I'm getting at is we put the time and place of the inspections in the rule rather than the statute, and allow the accommodation to be made by rule for this kind of a circumstance. Right now it's going to be by rule as to what records must be provided, and records required by the department rule to be maintained. So I'm simply saying we'll add in there that the times and places of inspection would be governed by rule also. Then you can make your case with the Justice Department on that score. Now, would that suit you any better?
Yes.
Or doesn't it make that much difference to you? But I just soon go with the language in its present form, but I suggest that as a possible way to handle it.
Now, I'd prefer that the this reference in here, I'd accept your amendment, to delete during the organization's normal business hours. And
those words would be deleted.
Right, and wait for the department then to adopt it by rule, and then they can implement
yes.
it, and we can work with them.
That's what I'm suggesting.
Right, so that it is not indicating to any law enforcement agency or police officer who happens to read this statute that they could go in at any time and just ask for records.
So what I'm suggesting is that on beginning on line 11, the phrase "during the organization's normal business hours" would be eliminated, and the records would be available for inspection at such times and places as required by the rule.
As required by the rule, that's fine.
See?
Okay, we just add that as another sentence.
Yeah. Now, how does that strike everybody?
That's excellent. Conceptually, it's right in being put the.
Okay. All right. Then I'd move that conceptual amendment and leave it up to legislative council to put it in proper form and style. Anybody have any objection to that?
No.
We got five people here yesterday. Hearing no objections, so ordered. Then we would delete. I would move the deletion of lines on page 14.
Where are they? Lines 23 and 24.
I would move the. Do you want to move the deletion, Bill? You want to put that?
If I can finish it here for a second.
Go ahead. Council's been working out something here.
sections 23 and 24 on page 14 of the amendments, it would be changed so that it would read on page 45, line 12, after the period, insert, "The record shall be available for inspection at times and places established by the department by rule."
Okay. Any disagreement with that? Okay, that's so ordered. And then the...
And we have to take out this language here, too, but I can do that.
Yes. The, okay. Yeah, we're taking out the phrase, "during the organization's normal business hours." That's part of that conceptual amendment.
Yeah.
All right. Now... so we're now looking at the dash six amendments as just amended. And council, is it accurate to say that the bulk of the dash six amendments, if not all of them, are, well, actually, I'm not going to say what they are. I guess you've already given us an explanation. If you want to put anything else on the record, Commissioner, to these dash six amendments?
No, Mr. Chairman, they are conflict amendments and, frankly, some cleanup where we didn't draft as well as we should have.
Uh-huh. All right. Well, the House Judiciary Committee oftentimes makes the same mistake in drafting, so we'll forgive you. Any objection to the dash six amendments now as they're presently constituted?
Well, I don't believe that I have in front of me the dash six, so I...
Yes, they're at the back.